And then it would say, the thing, 200 miles. And then you're driving, you see another sign. And it would say, the thing is. And all about the thing. Well, after all that, I had to see the thing. Well, I stopped and I saw the thing. And I've never been disappointed in my life. It was an old tin shack full of junk. And it would have a little plaque in front of it. And it would say, the thing is, in 19 so-and-so. And the next would say, the thing is, that's what the thing is. So it was a big disappointment. It was a big build-up just to let you down. But you know what? We're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to be let down. We're going to be taken up. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible said we shall be changed. Amen. Now, I believe that. I said, I believe that. I don't know if everybody here does, but I do. Praise God. Anybody excited about the prospect? Anybody excited about the reality? Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Man was isolated and on an island all by himself. He looked around and all over and finally scraped together enough stuff on his small island to build himself a little shelter. And he was fairly content. He went away from his little shelter. He had to go away to the other side of the island and looked around and he saw smoke rising in the air. And his heart quickened and he ran as quickly as he could and got there just in time to see what little he had being consumed in flames and reduced to ashes. And he was a bit despondent, and he cried out, and he said, God, he said this too. Have you ever felt like that? Like the fellow that said, cheer up, things could get worse. He said, I cheered up. Sure enough, things got worse. Well, that was his day. Bad. And he was sitting there with his head down and tears dripping off of his chin. And something caught his eye on the horizon. And a ship was coming his way. And he jumped up excited and began to wave his arms. And when they got there, the first thing he said was, how did you find me? And they said, we saw your smoke signal. So you see, sometimes God uses tragedy to bring deliverance and help. He just sees things differently than we do. You don't see this service this morning like God sees it. You see, He knows what happened yesterday and before you left home this morning. He listened to what you said and the things you didn't say. He has, and right now, sees every longing in this service here today. He knows the person you are, but He also knows the person that you really want to be. And on the other side of broken, He's waiting there. Worship with me on the other side of broken. When it seems your heart is breaking, there's no place for you to go. All you hold are shattered pieces of the dream you used to know. You are hurting and you're searching for the pieces you now hold. But on the other side
broken. God's love will make you whole on the other side of I'll cast all my fears. Words need not be spoken. Jesus dries my tears. On His wings I'll rise above the pain. That's why I love to call Him. On the other side of broken, that's where Jesus is. Every time you feel defeated and your back's against the wall, now don't you be discouraged. Your dreams are not the first to fall. See, God has gone before you. He has heard your tender prayer. And on the other side of broken, He will be waiting. On the other side of broken, I'll cast all my fears. Words need not be spoken, 'cause Jesus dries my tears. On His wings I'll rise above the pain. That's why I love to call His name on the other side of broken. That's where Jesus is. On the other side of broken, I'll cast all my words need not be spoken. Jesus dries my tears. On His wings I'll rise above the pain. That's why I love to call His name on the other side of broken. Oh, that's where Jesus is. With His arms wide open, He's waiting there for you. Hallelujah. Amen. We see brokenness as a bad thing. Brokenness can certainly be a good thing when you know somebody that can make it better. Amen. There really is no construction without some destruction. Amen. You got to make some preparation. We are here today to celebrate Resurrection Morning. Amen. And the greatest event in Christian life is the resurrection. Other people were born, though not like He was. Other people lived, though not like He did. Other people taught, but not as He taught. There were some that were healed, but not like He healed.
Oh, all men have died with the exception of two that I know of. But I'll tell you what, no one else has resurrected like he resurrected. Hallelujah. There are shadows and types all through the Old Testament about resurrection. Job, even in the midst of his suffering, he said, though my skin worms destroy this body, he said, yet in my flesh I will see God. He was convinced that we're not just vessels that live a few days, die, disappear, it's all over. Amen. I'm so glad today that there's purpose in living. And it doesn't end with the last breath. It doesn't stop when the heartbeat ceases. There's something better on the other side. Amen. It was signified with the very first death. When Cain took the instrument of destruction and smote his brother, and Abel fell to the ground and his blood stained the soil for the very first time in human history, God said, Abel's blood is crying to me from the ground. Amen. It was speaking of resurrection with the death of the very first man. When Abraham took his son Isaac and laid him on the altar and lifted the knife toward the heavens and was ready to end the life of his precious son, and God stayed his arm and he lifted him up off the altar and provided another sacrifice, it was a type of resurrection. When Joseph was ready to draw his last breath, he said, I don't mind living in Egypt. I don't mind dying in Egypt, but don't you leave me in Egypt. He said, when you leave here, and you're going to leave here, he said, you take my bones with you. It was a type of a resurrection. Amen. The Bible, all through the Old Testament, it speaks of resurrection. When Moses' mother, Jochebed, we wove that little cradle out of bulrushes and took him down to the Nile River and committed him to the water with a prayer in her heart and faith gripping her. And when that little ark drifted down until the princess picked it up and had it brought to her and out of the water, that's what his name means. Moses means drawn from the water. Hallelujah. It was a type of resurrection. All through the Scripture, resurrection, it says over and over and over again, it's not over. This is not it. It doesn't end here. Oh, but it wasn't until Jesus came that we... Did you know that resurrection is taught over 300 times in the New Testament? What the Old Testament alluded to, the New Testament shouted from the housetops. Said, there's a resurrection. This is not all there is. Thank God this is not all there is. Let me give you a notice today. Life is not fair.
That's right.
Amen. And if this is all there was, it wouldn't be much.
Right.
If all it was, and some of you don't understand this yet, but I'm understanding better all the time. Yesterday I turned 59 years of age. And I'm so glad I'm still here. And in as good a shape as I am. But I'll tell you what, it ain't fair. I'm smarter than I was when I was 20. I'm wiser than I was when I was 20. But I'm not as strong as I was when I was 20.
That's right.
Amen. I'm better looking. I just hide it better. Amen. But there have been some changes. But there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. Amen. Brother Hart talked about it this morning. It's what the brother said. And then it was a song written, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It said, on that great getting up morning,
Yes.
And it says we'll have a new body. We'll have a new wife. I mean life. For some folks, amen. Not for me. Amen.
Right.
I got a good one.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. She's been with me 36 years, and I don't want to break in another one. And she sure don't want to break in another me. I promise you that. Amen. We got a good thing. Amen. Till Jesus comes. But we're going to have a new body.
Amen.
And we're going to have a new life. That's resurrection. Now, I don't know. I'm excited about that. Right? And no matter, I've had a good life. I don't know of many people that have had a better life than I've had a good life. I'm not a wealthy man, but I'm a blessed man. And that I'll take that over a wealthy man any day. Amen. God's just been good to me. Amen. Praise God. I can wake every morning, no matter what the circumstances, with a song. Hey, that's a good life. Amen. To be able to go through the struggles and the issues and the difficulties of life and know that God is with me. No matter how dark it gets, I'm walking with the light. Hey, that's a good life. But that's not resurrection. Hallelujah. To know that God is with me through the surgeries and through the pain and the difficulties and the sicknesses. But, you know, that's not resurrection. Resurrection is when there's not going to be any sickness. And there's not going to be any pain. And there's not going to be any sorrow. And there's not going to be any disappointment. And there's not going to be any more darkness. Amen. That's resurrection. Amen. And so, I'm excited this morning about resurrection. Hallelujah. Let's look in the Word of the Lord to Mark chapter 16. Very interesting statement here. As you read the accounts of the resurrection in the Scripture, the chronology is a little bit difficult to follow sometimes. It is not contradictory, but it's different people telling a story from different perspectives. And the Scripture, I believe, is purposefully thought-provoking. This is not a simple primer that you can read and get it all with the first reading and toss it aside and say, I've read that. But this is a book of life that if you want to really get the nuggets, you've got to go back again and again and again to really get it all. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse number 9, it said, and when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Isn't that amazing? The very first person to see Jesus was one of the worst people and by society's standards. By society's standards, she had been written off. She would have been a horrible person. She would have been someone you wouldn't be happy to say, I know Mary. You would have been one of those people that would kind of hang your head and say, yeah, I know who she is. But on resurrection morning, it wasn't his mother. It wasn't John. It wasn't Peter or James or one of the apostles. The very first person to see Jesus resurrected was probably the one that people would have suspected the least. It was Mary Magdalene. I want to preach to you this morning when Mary met the Master. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I wasn't there, and Scripture really doesn't record a lot of details about the first time that Mary met Jesus. There's a lot of speculation, some of it gossip, some of it just downright filth concerning the relationship of Mary and Jesus by perverted and perverse minds. But it's a pure and simple story. When Mary of Magdalene was possessed of 7 evil spirits, she had no control of her own life. Her life was dictated by the will of evil spirits that drove her to do things that caused her to be ashamed and live in the low places because she had no hope of a better future. But when she saw a man, an humble preacher from the province of Galilee, and she heard his name for the first time, somebody said, "That's Jesus." And she heard his words, and she felt his compassion, and she sensed his mercy. And for the first time in her life, she found somebody that did not judge her because of what she was, but saw what she could be. And she came to that man, listened to his teachings, received his forgiveness, felt his mercy, was delivered by the authority of his word. And a spirit came upon her, a peace and a joy and a purpose. And from that day forward, her life was drastically changed. She was never the same again. And she walked in joy. She walked in peace. But one day, all of that was shattered and taken away from her. She stood with others on a hill called Calvary. And she watched the one upon whom she had put all of her hopes and in whom she had invested all of her dreams. And she watched as Roman soldiers drove nails into his hands and through his feet and lifted his bloody visage up into the air. And she heard the thud of a cross as it dropped into the ground and the groans as it ripped the flesh in his hands and his feet. And she watched that figure that was crowned with thorns. She watched him hanging, suspended between heaven and earth. And her world was so severely shaken. She heard his groanings and she listened to the moans. And every time she heard that, her heart would break. And there was nothing that she could do. She listened to the words from the cross and she heard finally as he began to say, "And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And finally the last words, "It is finished." And she watched as the eyes closed and the head dropped and the lungs expelled the last bit of air. And there he hung suspended. And all of her hopes, she had dreamed that it was going to be different. He talked and told and taught that it was going to be different. And yet, he seemed to die just like everybody else died, unjustly, unfairly. But nonetheless, he died. They took the limp body, prepared it quickly because the Sabbath was upon them. Took it down and the man called Joseph said, "I've got a tomb that I'm not using yet. Let's put him there." And they put him in there and as was the custom of in those days, they rolled the stone and sealed the tomb. So that was the way the story was. And so for the next 3 days, oh, those were tough days. Those were lonely days. Those were dark days. Those were despondent days. And she lived through that. She couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over and the first day of the week to arrive. So the Bible says that while it was yet dark, she couldn't wait for light. She couldn't wait for morning. She said, "I've got to get down there. I don't know why, but I've just got to be close to him, even if it's just on the other side of the stone." So she runs down to the tomb and when she gets there, she watches and with astonishment because the stone is rolled away. And she looks inside and the tomb is empty. She runs back to the city and she tells Peter and John, she said, they have taken him. Everybody say they. You know that's the elusive they. It's what they say. And it's always they. We don't know who they is, but it's they. So he says, they have taken him. And she said, we do not know where they have borne him. And so, there was some uncertainties here, and she's worried, she's concerned, but she can't stay away. She's drawn back again. She goes back, and this time they go with her. There are other women and the disciples. They all go, and they get there, and sure enough, he's not there. And so the Bible says everybody else leaves. And she's there alone. Early in the morning. And she's there alone. And she's weeping. And she looks one more time. You know, sometimes we want something to be true so badly that we just keep looking, don't we? So she looks again. Maybe I missed something the first time. And she looks. And guess what? Where his head used to be, there was an angel. And where his feet lay, there was an angel. Now, I know people that have had a whole ministry at seeing angels. And boy, they get invitations to preach all over the world because they saw an angel. And they write books because they saw an angel. Mary saw two angels and didn't even get excited. All she could say is, where have you taken him? Where did you put him? What have you taken him away? It was all she wasn't excited about angels. That didn't even penetrate her consciousness. They're just angels. And so she's not excited about the angels. All through the Bible I read about people seeing angels and they got excited. Thought they were going to die. She sees angels and it's like, just angels. Hey friend, when you've seen Jesus, angels just won't do. I said, when you've seen angels, or seen Jesus, angels, they just won't do. So she sees the angels and she don't get excited about that. Where have you taken him? She hears a voice. She turns around. And the Bible said she saw Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. You wouldn't have either. It wasn't the same Jesus she was used to seeing. Amen. This was for the very first time. You talk about a prototype. This is a brand new kind of human being. This is a human being that has a physical body that can be seen, touched, but doesn't have any blood. And is not limited to physical things and can go and do things that the physical body just can't do. For the very first time, she sees the resurrected Christ. First one to ever see. She didn't recognize him. All she her mind is still filled with a fog of disappointment and despair that death has cast upon her. And all she can say is, if you have taken him away, sir, would you just tell me where you put him and I'll go and I'll take him back again. Amen. You see, she was so hung up on the physical body of Jesus Christ and the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ, she didn't realize there had been a transition here. Amen. It's not just physical anymore. It's not just a human body anymore. Amen. But it's been a resurrection, but it hadn't dawned on her yet. And finally, he says in that very special way, he says, Mary, Mary, and all of a sudden, it dawns on her. And a big smile lights her face. She says, Master? Amen. Now, let me explain a little bit about this Rabboni thing. When she called him Rabboni, which in English would say, but translate Master, she wasn't calling him Master like he's the boss. And as if he owned her. And she had to do his bidding. But when she said Rabboni, it was master teacher. It was master of life. It was the one that has the answers. It's the one that you go to. Whatever you have, whatever need, whatever problem, whatever's in your life. When he said Rabboni, it means this man can tell me what I need to do. It's full of respect and full of love and full of hope. And she recognizes him. And her first impulse is to reach out and grasp him. And he says, don't touch me. Amen. Don't touch me. You see, she had to get used to a new kind of Jesus here. One that she couldn't just embrace with her arms, and one she couldn't hold in her hands, but one that was with her always. Amen. One that would say, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's the kind of Jesus she's seeing now. Hallelujah. And Jesus says to her, he says, I ascend. Everybody says ascend. Amen. Now, if you're looking for Jesus, you've got to look up. Oh, Garth Brooks, you know, he's looking in low places, I heard. You won't find Jesus in low places. Uh-uh. You're not going to find him in there. If you want to find him, you're going to have to look up. Amen. Because he didn't say, I descend. He said, I ascend. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing an old song that said, I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up in the first resurrection we are. Hallelujah. We're getting out of here, folks. We're going up. Amen. Don't look down. Look up. That's where your hope is. That's where Jesus is. Look up. Of all people in the world, Christians ought to be the ones with a stiff neck from looking up. Because that's where Jesus is. He's not down there. He's not out there. And people said, oh, I'm looking for Jesus. Well, if you are, look up. That's where he is. You'll find him. If you look up, it's all about up, not down. And so, you know, life's not like that, is it? A whole lot of life's about down. Amen. But Jesus is always up. Praise God. I think it's interesting here. He says to Mary, he says, don't touch me. But when he met the doubter, Thomas, he said, handle me and see. Why the difference? Because Mary was on a different plane of understanding. Amen. He was trying to teach her that if you're going to worship me now, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. But to the doubter, he said, handle me and see. And I invite you today, if you have questions, and I know I've heard people say this all my life, don't ask Jesus why. Why not? He's not scared of your questions. Your questions are not going to make him disappear. Amen. Bring your doubts. Bring your fears. Amen. Hey, there wouldn't be much to this if it was just all a little positive stuff and all we could bring to Jesus was our best. Bring him your worst. Bring him your worst. Bring your sins. Bring your addictions. Bring your problems. Bring your fears. Bring the ugliness of life. Bring it all. Amen. He doesn't just want to put some kind of a pretty face on your life. He wants to deal with the issues. He wants to dig down where the dirt is and get it out. He wants to reach down and get the sin by the root and rip it out. He understands how destructive it is and what it does to your life. He wants to deal with the issues, not cover them over. Amen. Jesus doesn't deal with life by band-aids and medications. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He deals with your problems by making things new. Amen. That's the kind of God we're talking about today. Amen. So he said, I'm going to ascend. Amen. If you're going to look for me, Mary, you got to look up now, honey. You can't be looking down, looking in tombs that are empty. Amen. You want to find me, just look up. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Amen. That's where you're going to find Jesus, because that's where he is. Amen. Oh, you talk about it. It affected Mary. She was so excited. But Jesus gave her a mission. You know, that's what I appreciate about the Lord. He's not into monasteries. There are some people that get so holy, they've met Jesus, and they're so holy, they want to separate themselves from everybody. And they want to do like Peter and John. They want to just build tabernacles and stay on the mountain and have no contact with a contaminated world. Amen. That's their idea. But that's not what Jesus told Mary. He said, I want you to go and tell my disciples. Everybody say, go and tell. That's what it's all about. Go and tell. You know, we used to have in school, they used to have a thing called show and tell. Amen. Jesus was into go and tell. Amen. He said, go and tell. You see, as soon as she got the message, he gave her a mission. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. If God just wanted to save you, and that's all there was to it, when you got the Holy Ghost, you'd get resurrected. But it don't happen that way. Because you're saved to go on a mission. As soon as you get the message, he wants you to go tell it. He wants you to go share it. He wants you to go give it. Amen. And so he says, I want you to go. And so, oh boy, you talk about fleet feet. Man, I don't know if her feet touched the ground all the way back to Jerusalem. She ran and she was so excited. She said, I have seen the Lord. Hallelujah. He is alive. The angels had already said that, but it didn't penetrate. But when she saw Jesus and heard it from his own mouth and saw with her own eyes, she said, it's real. It's real. I saw him. Now, they didn't believe it, but she didn't care. I'm telling you something. When you get an experience with God, it doesn't matter what anybody says. People can come and say, I don't believe that. That doesn't dampen your faith. He may have more degrees than a thermometer and know the Bible from generations to revolutions, from lid to lid and cover to cover. He may know it all, honey. But if he says there's nothing to this and you've got this, it doesn't make any difference. Amen. Let him stew in his ignorance about that area. Amen. But when you... I know sugar's sweet because I eat it. Amen. And that sugar, that substitute stuff, I have that too, but it just don't do. Amen. You know, there's a reason they call it... what do they call it? Nearly butter or something? Yeah, I can't believe it's not. Whatever. Because it's not. If you've ever had it, you know what it is. And it ain't. It may be some kind of a near thing, but it's not the real thing. And friend, I'm telling you, when you really meet Jesus Christ for yourself, and you know him with a personal experience in your life, nobody can tell you that it's not real. Amen. I know some people get a little, they say, why do you get so excited? I can't help but get excited, friend, because it's real. It transformed my life. It means something to me. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with a resurrected Savior and a living God. And that'll put something inside of you. Amen. And so Mary, she was excited. They didn't believe it. Even the apostles didn't believe it. The disciples didn't believe it. But the Bible says later, the same day. Now, I like this part. Now, I'm going to hurry. I'm finishing. I'm already on point two. I know I only got seven more to go. No, not really. No, I'm wrapping it up here. Just hang on. The Bible says that they're in this room and the doors are closed, locked. Amen. And the Bible says, get this, for fear. Everybody say fear. Fear is a terrible master. Fear is a terrible way to live your life. To live your life in fear is a horrible bondage. And so they're up there and they're in fear. And all of a sudden, This is that resurrected Christ. He didn't open the door. He just was. Amen. The door was locked, and all of a sudden, there he was. Talk about a new body. Amen. Bricks don't stop him. Doors don't stop him. Closed windows couldn't stop him. He just wanted to be, so he was. He just appeared. Hallelujah. And the first thing he says to him, he says, peace. You know why? Because they're fearful. They're full of fear. And the first thing Jesus wants them to get is peace. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something today. If you came here fearful, he wants you to leave here with peace. If you came here with trouble, he wants you to leave with peace. If you came today with all kinds of conflicts in your life, he wants you to leave with peace. That's what he's into. Amen. So he comes to his fearful disciples, and the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. Amen. And then the Bible says that the next thing he did is he shows them his hands. He said, see? That nail print right there. And this one over here. And then he shows him his side and he says, remember this? Where the sword went in? It's me. That was real. It really happened. I read some years ago, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a brilliant professor wrote a book. And he said that Jesus didn't really die and resurrect. He said all that really happened was that Jesus swooned and they thought he was dead. So one of his critics said, well, let's take you and let's beat you with a whip, 40 stripes, march you up a hill, crown you with thorns, hang you on a tree, until all of your blood drops out and it comes like water, and then take you down off of that cross and seal you in a tomb, an airless tomb, for 3 days where it's hot and steamy and you can't breathe, and then let's see if you swoon. Friend, he was dead. And he was telling his disciples, this is, you remember this, but now I want you to see this. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, I do have some scars that prove who I am, but my scars do not define me, and they do not confine me. That's what happened to me. That's what people did to me. That's what I went through. Everybody say through. That's what I went through, but I did not stay there, and that's not where I am. Now, we have a cross up here on this wall you can't see, and it doesn't matter whether we have one or not, because it's empty. There's not anybody hanging there. Amen. I have been to Jerusalem, and I have walked into what they say is the garden tomb. I don't know if it was or not, but I can testify to this. It's empty. I saw it with my own eyes. There's not anybody there. I've also gone to the traditional tomb that they've decorated with silver and gold and all kinds of fancy tapestries, and it certainly doesn't look like a tomb, but he wasn't there either. So I don't know which one's real, but I know that all of them are empty. Hallelujah. Praise God. There was a man, he was a follower of Islam, and he converted to Christianity. And somebody said, why did you convert? He said, because of the man that pointed me to Christianity. He said, well, what was the difference? He said, the man that pointed me to Islam was dead. The man that pointed me to Christianity was alive. That's the difference. Amen. Praise God. You want to see the tomb of Muhammad? You want to see the tomb of Confucius? You want to see the tomb of Krishna? You want to see the tomb of all these great philosophers of time? They're all tombs. Bones. Amen. But you want to see the tomb of Jesus? It's empty. He's not there. You know where he is? Hallelujah. He's inside. Jesus met with his disciples in the Bible. He talked to them. And the scripture says he breathed on them. He went. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He was preparing them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, or it could be translated breath. It's the same word. It came as a rushing mighty wind or breath upon them. And they recognized that breath because they had felt it before. Hallelujah. It was the very breath of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now let me just say this quickly to you today. God doesn't want you to have an inferior experience with Him. I hear people say all the time, "Well, the Holy Ghost, that talking in tongues stuff's not for us today." Why not? If God would give it to Peter and James and John, I've heard people say it just for the 12. No, it wasn't. His mother was there. Mary Magdalene was there. There were 120 there to start with. Amen. And before it was over, there was 3,120. And in a very short time, it was 8,120. And then Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. And then they said, "They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." I don't want an inferior experience with God. I want what He gave Peter and James and John. And that's what He said, wasn't it? When they got it, He said, "For the promise is to you, it's to your children, it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." It's for everybody. Don't be shortchanged today. Amen. You can have it all. Amen. Praise God. Don't let anybody talk you into accepting something less than what God has for you. He wants to give it to you all and complete today. In closing, we call it Resurrection Morning. Not Resurrection Eve. Not Resurrection Dusk. Not Resurrection Evening. Or Resurrection Night. There's a reason it's called Resurrection Morning. Amen. Praise God. Morning is when the light comes. I don't know about you, but I like morning. I love to see the sun come up. I think it's beautiful. You watch as it, as you watch over in the east as it just begins to come up in darkness, and everything just starts getting lighter, lighter. And the stars and the moon become pale and then disappear. And then you watch, and as that little glimpse and redness begins to shimmer across the horizon. In a little while you see the sun just begins to peek its head over the top of the horizon. In a little while it gets so brilliant you can't stand to look at it anymore. It's too bright to see. And day is here. You know why I like light? Because I like to see stuff. Have you ever walked into darkness? Man, there's stuff there you can't see. You can get hurt walking in the dark. You can fall walking in the dark. You can be fooled in the dark. I learned a valuable lesson. Cost me some money, but I learned a valuable lesson. Never buy a car when it's dark. There's stuff you can't see when it's dark. But when it gets light, you'll see stuff that you wish you would have known about before you bought it. Life's like that. Friend, if you live your life in darkness, you can be sold anything. You'll buy anything because you don't know what it really looks like till you get it in the light. Things that will trip you up in the dark, you'll go around in the daytime. Resurrection, it's about light. It's about illumination. It's about understanding. It's about knowledge. It's about comprehension. It's about knowing. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for resurrection. Thank God for light today. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. Jesus is still in the resurrection. Now, what I want you to know today is that this didn't stop with Jesus. Amen. Jesus said that he said, I live that you may live also. Amen. And he puts that in the present tense, not in the past tense. He didn't say I lived. He said I live. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He never talked about himself in the past tense because he realized, amen, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Praise God. And he is today. He's the real thing. And he wants to share that with you. That's what the resurrection is about, a new life, a new kind of life that God puts in human beings that even death cannot defeat. Amen. Some of us here today, we call it losing loved ones, but we didn't really lose them. If you know where something is, it's not lost. You may not can get to it right now, but you know where it is. And we didn't lose anything. We just it just went on before us. Amen. They've gone on. But we can join them, and we shall. Hallelujah. And we shall. Praise God. So there's something that's greater than death. Something that has more power than death. Amen. And that's the resurrection. That's what it's all about. Not so we can just feel good in this life, but so that we can be caught up to glory to live this way for all eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. If that's the hope that you want, that's not the hope you have, I would like to invite you today to receive the Lord, amen, and His Spirit. Praise God. The power of resurrection. He wants to give that to you. Amen. The Bible said, if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in you, it shall make alive, quicken your mortal body. Amen. Praise God. That's the hope that we have today. And if you don't have that, you can have it before this morning is over. Praise God. Amen. I know we've got a meal waiting for us, and we're going to get there just real quick. Amen. But I just want to just offer somebody an opportunity to pray here this morning. This is more important than anything else on our schedule. Amen. Praise God. There's an altar here. If you need to make your way to God, you need to experience Him the way that you haven't experienced Him before. Amen. Praise God. I welcome you. I invite you to come. Lift your hands. Open your heart. Invite Jesus to come in. He'll do that. Amen. In the power of His Holy Spirit. If you'll invite Him, He'll come. If you'll seek Him like Mary, you'll find Him. If you'll stand and stay, He'll join you. And He will reveal Himself to you in a greater way. Amen. I invite you today. Amen. Here's an altar. Somebody feel the tug of the Holy Ghost. Please come. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank God for resurrection. Thank God for resurrection.
On that resurrection morning when all the dead Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. And I'll have a new home
here,
of life eternal.
I'm
with
here,
the
Jesus.
Redeemed of God will stand.
I'm here,
there'll
Jesus.
Be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Praise the
likeness of
my